Lot going on at church this summer. It's going to be great, and we don't want you to miss out on any of it. Something else we don't want you to miss out on is for the dads, as you head out after service today, we've got these boards. They're going to be filled with donuts. Donuts are for dads, and if anyone's like, hey man, you're getting a little bit of a dad bod, you just go like, it's not a dad bod, it's called a father figure. I had to have a dad joke on Father's Day, you know? That was my dad, by the way, who said I'm lame, just for the public record. To all the dads here today, though, seriously, we just want to pause and say thank you for being here. On a day that's dedicated to you, when you could have easily been somewhere else, you could have been golfing the perfect course, firing up the grill for the backyard feast, or out on the lake enjoying the calm, or maybe just hitting the snooze button for a few extra hours of sleep, you are here. You're in church. And that choice speaks volumes to your family, to your world, and even to the spiritual realm. Your presence today is so valuable. So just hear me out. I am proud of you. Well done, dads. I've got this video for you before I keep going.
Hi, I'm Leo.
Hi, Leo.
I'm a new dad. I found myself window shopping this week for a fanny pack.
My car smells like McDonald's all the time.
I'm turning into a real-life tickle monster.
I can't get these bad jokes out of my head. Like, why do melons have big weddings?
Because they can't.
Why do we know that?
Oh, it's okay. It's okay. We should be proud to be dads. So why don't we say the paternity prayer?
God, grant me serenity as I hide in the bathroom where my family can't find me. Courage to change every terrifying diaper, and the wisdom to know when to belch and when not to.
Amen. Yes. So let's get out there and be those fort-building, tea party attending, cape-wearing, homework helping, spider-killing, dependable dads that those kids need.
Yes!
Oh, yes. Beyond the fanny packs and the dad jokes, here's the foundational truth that often gets lost in the shuffle of everyday life. Fathers are vital. Fathers are vital. Dads, you're needed more than ever before. Now, on a day like this, I recognize, like Laura said earlier, not everyone's had a great experience when it comes to the word father. Whether you had a perfect, picture-perfect relationship with your dad or a strained one or no relationship at all, the profound impact of a dad's presence is undeniable. Now, our culture often downplays the importance of dads, and yet the research shows a very different picture. The absence of fathers in the home has reached epidemic proportions in our country, with nearly 1 in 4 children, that's over 17.5 million kids, living without a biological step or adoptive father. Like, this crisis is not just impacting kids, it's impacting and hurting families and societies as a whole. It's kind of wild when you look at the stats. 85% of kids who are in prison and 71% of kids who are high school dropouts come from fatherless homes. 90% of all homeless and runaway children are from fatherless homes. 60% of youth suicides are from homes where a father is absent. Fatherless families are 4 times more likely to live in poverty. Children without their fathers are more prone to drug abuse, delinquent behavior, and mental health problems like low self-esteem, depression, and anxiety. Kids growing up without the father present are also 2 to 3 times more likely to be expelled or suspended from school. Now, that's a lot of bad news. My job today is to hopefully give you some hope. Because children who have an actively involved father are 33% less likely to drop out of school, 43% more likely to achieve A's in school. Girls who feel close with their father are 75% less likely to experience a teen pregnancy. And kids who feel close to their dads are 80% less likely to spend time in jail. Here's the point I'm trying to make with all that. Dads, your presence matters. Being there is important. And your leadership is needed now more than ever before. Because when dad is in the picture, He gives a solid foundation for well-being for his wife, for his kids, and even for the community that he lives in. And this leads to lower risks for a host of poor childhood outcomes, like infant mortality, low birth weight, emotional behavioral problems, neglect and abuse, injury, obesity, poor school performance, teen pregnancy, incarceration, alcohol, substance abuse, criminal activity, and suicide. When a dad is present, all of those numbers go down. And even further, dads who lean in are really good for moms, who are more likely to receive prenatal care, smoke less during pregnancy, have healthier births, experience lower risks of postpartum stress and depression. And if that wasn't enough to convince you, dads themselves get a good deal when they're involved. The stats show that dads have greater happiness, better physical and mental health, higher self-esteem, and a greater likelihood of community impact when they're involved in raising their kids. This is the point. A good father makes a great future. A good father makes a great future. And so I want to ask the question today, what if all it took? What if all it took for kids to grow up strong and safe, for moms to be healthy and vibrant, for men's mental health to be a strength instead of a liability, and even for our communities to flourish more than ever before, was for dads not to check out, but to lean in with courage, with wisdom, with strength, and a caring presence. See, I think fathers are way, way, way more important than they get credit for. That's why I say that a good father makes a great future, because they're absolutely essential for kids, families, and even for neighborhoods to thrive. And as I think about how vital dads are, it makes me think about the greater blessing that together we share, that we can have a relationship with a perfect father, God our Heavenly Father. See, whether your own dad was present or absent, whether your relationship was picture perfect or perfectly strained, the truth is we all long for a perfect father figure. Our souls are thirsty for the unconditional love, the unwavering support, and the steady hand that guides us. And that is what each of us who have a relationship with Jesus, that is what we all have in God as our Heavenly Father. If you have your Bibles, would you join me in Romans chapter 8? Romans chapter 8, we're going to start reading in verse 14 together. And so if you're able to, I'd invite you to stand and join me as we read this out loud. Romans 8, 14 through 17. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. So you have not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Instead, you received God's Spirit when He adopted you as His own children. Now we call Him Abba, Father. For His Spirit joins with our spirit to affirm that we are God's children. And since we are His children, we are heirs. In fact, together with Christ, we are heirs of God's glory. Would you pray with me? Father, today I ask that you would reveal your goodness as Father to us. I'm not aware of all the brokenness and the wounds that come from our experience of fatherhood here on earth that's here today, but you are. And Lord, I pray today you'd be writing a different narrative, a perfect one. And even for those of us who are on the defense when it comes to letting a dad in, God, I pray that you would unlock the door and begin to open it in our hearts today for us to be able to receive the perfect fathering that you offer. And for those of us who are dads, I pray that you would inspire us, equip us, encourage us to be dads like you. That today can be the beginning of the rest of our lives as we live and model our fatherhood after how you father us. So today I'm asking a simple question, God. Would you come and father us today? I pray that we'd be receptive to your fathering. Amen. You can have a seat. Our souls are thirsty, or hungry for a perfect father, for a heavenly father. See, we have this God-shaped void that is hungry for love and for support and for someone to show us the way, and that's what we find in God. He's the Father who's never going to leave. He's never going to abandon us. He's never going to forsake us. He is perfectly loving, infinitely wise, and always good. And so as you seek him in this life, what you're going to discover is the kind of fathering that you've been yearning for your whole life. God is the perfect father, and he delights in you. He wants to be close to you. He is the ultimate example of strength and courage and tenderness and caring presence and wisdom. And so no matter what the term dad has meant to you over the course of your life, God is inviting each of us to receive his fathering in our lives. And so for the dads here today, no matter what your past is hiding, I want to encourage you with this. Today can be a fresh start. I don't know what fathering has done to you. I don't know what fathering has been your experience. I know I've messed up enough as a father already that I'm going to be talked about in therapy sessions someday. And yet, the invitation of the Heavenly Father is lean in, because I want to show you how to be a good dad. This is not something where he's beating you over the back with a whip. This is saying, no, come and follow my example. And so as we see how God fathers each of us, and then for the dads, how we can be this kind of father, this is where we can open up our hearts once again to let God's fathering in. In fact, as I read through Scripture, I see at least six different ways that God fathers us. And so if you're taking notes today, I'd invite you just to write this as a title. It can be a working title. It's not very clever, but six ways that God fathers us. Number one, the thing I see is this. He indicates his loving affirmation. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 3 really quick. Matthew chapter 3, and this is where we see Jesus being baptized by his cousin John. And I love this scene for so many reasons, but there's this one part of it, I think, that we often overlook. Look at verses 16 to 17. After his baptism, Jesus came up out of the water, and the heavens were opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove, settling on him. And a voice from heaven said this, "This is my dearly loved Son, who brings me great joy." This is my dearly loved Son, who brings me great joy. Another time, he said this at the Transfiguration. He said, "This is my dearly loved Son, who brings me great joy. Listen to him." What is God doing in this moment? He is publicly in front of everybody affirming his son. I love this one. He's mine. This is the father delighting in his son. But here's the thing. This is not something that the father just does with Jesus. I hope you understand this. He speaks this over you. What he speaks over Jesus. You are my beloved son. You are my beloved daughter. And I'm pleased with you. You bring me great joy. Look back at Romans chapter 8, verses 15 and 16. Again, we just read this, but you have not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Instead, you've received God's Spirit when he adopted you as his own children. Now we call him Abba Father. That was an ancient Near Eastern term to just basically say, like it says, like what a kid would call their dad, like daddy or dad or father. For his Spirit joins with our spirit to affirm that we are God's children. He indicates his affirmation over you. And so the deep question of our heart, that is that am I loved by my father? Do I have any worth to him? He answers with a resounding yes. Absolutely. And this gives us a solid foundation in our lives. Without this answer from our Heavenly Father, we just keep looking for validation everywhere else. But as a father, God makes sure to not just feel it towards us, but to say it out loud, to communicate it to us about his delight. And that's what gives us a secure identity. So number one, He indicates his affirmation of us. Number two, he initiates growth by challenging us. Okay, God initiates growth in your life not by protecting you from every harm and evil. I hope you understand that. Look at the beginning of Matthew chapter 4, okay? Matthew chapter 4, starting in verse 1 and 2. This is fascinating to me. By way of context, when Jesus is being tempted in the desert, whose idea was it? Who wanted Jesus in the desert to be tempted? Was it Satan or was it God? Here's a really cool thing. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Who wanted Jesus to be tempted in the wilderness? Was it Satan or God? The answer is yes. And this might surprise you a bit, but God does not always shelter his kids from difficulty. That's not what a good father does. If I never give my kid a chance to fail, to fall down, to get scraped up, to get bruised, to get overwhelmed, to get discouraged, I never give them the opportunity to develop strength or resilience. That's not good. And so like a good father, he's going to allow us to face challenges. He's not just letting us face them alone, though. That's the key. Right? He's with us. He's given us challenge with his supervision. Now, sometimes God does this in a very controlled way. When you just get, you know, a step beyond your comfort zone. So you might have experienced this like on a mission trip or while you got used to the demands of a new job or inspired to try that new fitness center out. And it's a step outside of your comfort zone, but it's a very controlled one because you always have the chance to come right back. At other times, God uses hardship to train us and to stretch us. Like a dad who loves his son and he sees his son getting pushed to the limits by the football coach. He doesn't step in to rescue him from that. No. He goes, you feel out of control. You feel overwhelmed. You feel like this is never going to end. Trust me, I've been there. You can make it. Or coaching his daughter through middle school bullying. God gives us the opportunities to develop resilience and courage and strength that only could be developed from situations that are dangerous or unfair. Now, he doesn't leave us in that alone. He is with us in the trial. But he doesn't always prevent it. And the encouragement is to get back up when we fall. But in every challenge, whether it's controlled or even seems too hard to handle, God is preparing us for greater responsibility in his kingdom. That's what a good father does. He initiates growth by challenging us. Number three, he instructs us through his word and through scripture. He teaches us. He helps us understand what we don't understand yet. Because as we read through scripture, God is imparting wisdom. He's guiding us. He's correcting us. And then he also whispers into our hearts sometimes with his Holy Spirit. Whether it's giving personal guidance, whether it's reminding us of what the word says, whether it's convicting us of sin. There's a lot of ways that God continues to instruct us over the course of our lives. And that's what I love about how God fathers us. He's not an absent father. He sends the Spirit to dwell in us and to be the voice of the Father to us. John 14:26. But when the Father sends the advocate, who's that? The Holy Spirit. The one who advocates on our behalf. As my representative, that's the Holy Spirit, he will teach you everything and he'll remind you what I've told you. Now, he's already revealed to us everything we need for life and godliness. We have the Holy Spirit who now guides us in that and reminds us what he says in his word and helps us understand it and shows us how to use it. I was reading a book a number of years ago called Fathered by God by John Eldridge. I highly recommend it, by the way. And he says one of the best things that we can do in our relationship with God is to do this. I want to encourage you to try this. Put your hands out here, just like this, like you're about to receive something, okay? This is just a very short prayer to God. One of the best things you can do in your relationship with God is to get into the habit of saying, "Speak, Lord," with an open ear to heaven. To say, "Speak, Lord, come father me." When we do that, our whole life becomes, and he says this in the book, one great romance, a glorious opportunity for seeing marvelous things all the time. In other words, God already is speaking. I don't think we don't often realize it. God wants to talk with you and guide you every day as a dad, walking alongside his kids, giving instructions about everything from, you know, how to properly love your spouse to how to fix the car to how to answer your seven-year-old's questions about heaven. But not only does he offer guidance, that's one of the ways that he instructs us, he offers us correction. I don't think we like that sometimes because of the way it's been given to us in our lives. But the voice of God speaking to us, correction is life. We covered this in our series through Hebrews, okay? But Hebrews chapter 12 says this, as you endure divine discipline. You get that? Like, God sees the span of your life, and he sees the outcome of what you're about to do. He sees where the desires of your heart are leading you. And it's not always freedom to just be told, do whatever you want. Okay, that gets you in trouble. If I told my kids, do whatever you want, one of them I'd have to pick out of the road. I'm going to let you assume whichever one that is. Yeah, but you know what I mean? Like, freedom is not always good. It's not always loving. There's guidance. There's boundaries. And within that, freedom is experienced. And so God corrects us with divine discipline. Remember, God is treating you as his own children. Whoever heard of a child who was never disciplined by its father? If God doesn't discipline you as he does all of his children, it means you are illegitimate and not really his children at all. Why is that? Because the opposite of love is not hate. The opposite of love is indifference. And if you are never being corrected by God, it might be possible that you've never submitted to him by faith and been adopted as his own child. You want God on your own terms. You want a cross around your neck. But you want the glory for yourself. You want your life to be your own. When God loves you, he guides you. He's not going to let you continue down a destructive path. Why? Because he doesn't want harm to happen to you. He loves you. Number four, he intervenes to treat our wounds. He intervenes to treat our wounds. So even at those times when we do fall down, and he safely allows us to experience failure. See, we all carry wounds, whether it's from childhood hurts or from failures or even, frankly, the natural consequences of our own sin. Part of God's fathering includes physical, emotional, and spiritual healing. He intervenes where the pain should have broken us. But not only does he have the capacity to heal our physical consequences, our physical brokenness, God is intent on healing the broken places in your heart. Stuff that you may not even be aware of yet, but you're reacting to. He heals. Psalm 147:3, he heals the brokenhearted and he bandages their wounds. A famous poet said, men cry in a thousand different ways. You may not think you have brokenness in your heart. You may not think you have a deep inner heart wound. And yet the moment that you're triggered, you're angry. I'm not angry, I'm just frustrated. It just runs in my family. No, brother, you have untreated wounds in your family and generational trauma. Allow the perfect Father to step in and mend your wounds. Don't hide them from him. I had to peel a Band-Aid off my child this morning. And he kept running away from me, trying to hide it from me. And I'm like, dude, this wound needs some air so it can start to form a scab and start to heal. It's not bleeding anymore, so I need to take the Band-Aid off. No, it's going to hurt. What's going to hurt is an infection that gets in your wound that just starts to fester. That's what's going to hurt. And so I'm going to allow some pain, but like I want to bind up your wound so that it can start to heal. How does God do this? Sometimes it's through prayer and personal encounters. When we read the Word and we finally feel the Father's love in a deep place that no one else has touched before. Other times it's through a counselor or a Christian therapist who's very well trained in treating certain wounds. Like I've had certain surgeries in my life that I was not about to do myself. You know what I mean? I'm going to trust somebody to intervene and set up my body to heal in a way that God already designed it to. You can trust certain people to intervene and help your heart and your soul to start to heal the way that God designed it to and to be in alignment with Him. You can go to a therapist. You can go to a counselor. Just hear that from this pastor today. God wants to heal and bandage your brokenness. It's okay to ask for help. But in all of it, God is committed to us. He's in all of that. He is stepping into our brokenness and restoring power. Okay, so He intervenes to treat our wounds. Number five, God invites us into relationship and intimacy. You see, God does not only give orders like a coach, but He invites us into close friendship, which is why developing an intimate relationship with God is central to the human journey. This is vital. I love how King David says it. Psalm 63, verse 3. He says, "Your unfailing love is better than life itself. How I praise you." It's better than life itself. We were made for this divine romance. Over and over in the scripture, we see that we can pour our souls out to Him, our joy, our anger, our sorrow, our melancholy, everything in between, and He can handle them as He reveals His glory and as He reveals His beauty to us. God often awakens new passions inside of us. I'll never forget, this is a small example, but maybe you can relate. Like when I gave my life to Jesus, I mean, I got saved when I was a lot younger and I had submitted to Him as the Lord. But I remember I'd been holding a lot of it back in my life. I was like, well, I want to walk the Jesus walk, but I also want to kind of do my own thing. And I was in the middle of high school, and I fully surrendered to God. And instantly, I can look back on all my Bibles and my notes and my journals and my homework. My handwriting improved immediately. I was like, what is going on here? You know what happened? I started caring about life because I was given purpose. Passions inside of my heart were awakened. I was like, this stuff matters. And I don't know what it was like when Jesus got a hold of your heart, but there was something that changed. There was something deeper that you could start to see life differently. And there is this divine romance. There's this divine dance that we're invited into where God's going, I don't want to just lead you. I want to know you. You look at any other religion and it's like, man, I hope God doesn't hate me by the time I get to heaven. It's kind of up to Him how He's feeling that day. I got to work my tail off to get to nirvana. I've got to achieve this perfect state of bliss. I hope I get reincarnated in a way that like doesn't screw me over for the next 80, 100 years. Like, no. Christianity says God Himself, instead of waiting for you to come to Him, He came down to you because He wanted to initiate a relationship with you. This isn't about a religion. This isn't about a list of do's and don'ts. It's about God saying, I want you close. I want you close. And so He awakens these new passions in us the more that we begin to interact with the One who created everything. Maybe it's a love of music or art that mirrors His creativity, or a cause of compassion that mirrors His strong and tender heart. But by drawing us into deeper relationship, God forms us into people who love well, who are tender with our loved ones, and passionate about His eternal purpose. And finally, number six, God invests kingdom responsibility and authority in us as children. Because at some point in a child's life, the father must release them into the responsibility and authority they were trained for. Maybe it's a dad giving his teenage daughter the keys to the family car. I know some of y'all had to do that. Some driver's training is happening right now, and you're like, what is happening? Or maybe it's the patriarch who hands over the responsibility of running the family business, or the dad who gives his son the handle on the lawnmower for the first time. As a father, God wants us to join him in his work. This is the blessing of fatherhood. This is what Jesus was getting at when he says in the Great Commission, I've been given all authority in heaven and earth by my Father. So go and make disciples of all nations. Now I'm giving you this privilege to join me in this, right? Make disciples of all nations, baptizing them and teaching them, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching these new disciples to obey the commands I've given you. See, God's been raising us. He's been raising you. He's not been absent. God has been raising you, and eventually he releases you for kingdom responsibility and authority, but he doesn't leave you alone. Like, all right, get out of the house now. That's not what God does. Look at this. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I've given you, and be sure of this, of what? That I am with you to the end of the age. I am with you to the end of the age. The way that God fathers us is complete and perfect. He indicates his loving affirmation. He initiates growth by challenging us. He instructs us through his word and spirit. He intervenes to treat our wounds. He invites us into relational intimacy. And finally, he invests kingdom responsibility and authority in us. Like, nobody here on earth had a perfect dad. Even the best dad on planet earth made mistakes. But God never gives up on us because he is a perfect dad. He never abuses or abandons. He is a father to the fatherless who sets the lonely in families. That's Psalm 68. Our Heavenly Father is actively involved in raising us into the men and the women that he created us to be. And that's why I say a good father makes a great future. Because that's what your Heavenly Father has been doing for you all along. A good father makes a great future. And dads, take note. Take heart. If you want to know what it looks like to win as a dad, you can just be a mini-me of your Heavenly Father. You can do for your kids what your father does for you. Number one, indicate your loving affirmation. That's what your Heavenly Father does for you. Tell them you love them. Out loud. Don't just feel it. If you have a living child, tell them you love them. Number two, initiate growth through challenge. Encourage them to take a step beyond their comfort zone. Especially if you've got kids who are younger, don't always rescue them. You can step in and bind up their wounds later. But some lessons are never learned until they're experienced. I think sometimes we think, man, my sole responsibility as a parent is to protect my kid until they get out of the house. No, it's not. It's also to prepare them. And if the first time that they ever fail or fall apart is when they're not with you, how are you protecting them then? No. The best way to protect your children is to prepare them and to help them be stronger. It's okay to let them fail, to let them fall. Instruct them in God's ways. Number three, show them how to read their Bibles and how to listen for the Spirit's leading. I tell you, one of the godly heritage I received growing up, it was so common for me to see my dad reading his Bible, talking about it out loud, annoyingly singing about it. But teach your kids how to read their Bibles, how to listen for the Holy Spirit. I'll say this, not my notes, but I never forget this. I was helping in the kids' ministry at the church I grew up in. After when I was in like middle school or high school, I was helping with a WANA program. And I was working with this particular student or kid to understand these verses and the books of the Bible and some stuff. And if we finally got through it, and this kid, like the light bulb went on for the kid, and all on like one night just recited all of it. And like the word of God was just getting into this kid. And I remember we were driving home, and I was just like telling this to my dad, and I was like so excited about this. I'm like, I'm feeling something I haven't felt before. And he's like, you know that's the Holy Spirit, right? And I didn't know that until then. And I realized that there are things that I need to be instructed in. And as I look back on that, I think about that, it's like, man, some stuff that seems so basic and obvious to me, I go, how would my kids know unless someone showed them that? Instruct them in God's ways. Don't be afraid to lovingly and appropriately discipline your children just like God does. It's a sign of your love. Number four, intervene to treat their wounds. Help them process pain and heal from it instead of running away. And maybe one of the ways that you do that, if you're a dad, is you go get healing yourself to give permission for your kids to see that happening. But intervene to treat their wounds. Help them process pain and heal from it, whether it's physical or emotional. Number five, invite them into intimacy. Spend time with them and work on your relationship with them. It's never too late for that. Maybe they've never heard your story before, and you just think they kind of know. Man, invite them into the personal places of your life. Invite them into close relationship. And finally, invest responsibility and authority to them. Entrust some important tasks and decisions as they begin to grow, especially when it comes to God's kingdom. Your kids may not always think exactly the same way that you do. And you might see that as a threat, and it's not. Okay? You're raising them to think for themselves. That's the point, right? So entrust them with decisions, entrust them with responsibility, especially when it comes to God's kingdom. See, this is how God fathers you, and this is what it looks like to be a good father. A good father makes a great future. So whether you're a dad yourself, you're hoping to be one, you're broken that you're not able to be one, or whether you experience your own experience with your father was wonderful or difficult, this is the good news. No matter where you're at on that journey, God invites each and every one of us into a deep and a loving relationship with Him as He fathers us. He wants to be that perfect father for you, guiding you, providing for you, fathering you into the future He's prepared. And here's the cool thing, His fathering, His relationship with you is not based on your past failures or achievements. It's freely given. It's always present. It is always leading you into the greatness that He made you for. Because that's what a good father does. A good father makes a great future. He doesn't just see who you are. God sees who you're becoming. And like any good dad, He is committed to shaping you into become that strong, whole person that He made you for. He indicates His loving affirmation over you. Please understand that when you think about God, if you're a follower of Jesus, your sin has been paid for. So He is no longer mad at you. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. There is only affirmation. When your Father looks at you, He delights with joy. You don't have to withhold anymore. You don't have to step back anymore and go like, I can't come to God because He might be really mad at me. He's not. Because He put that on Jesus. He reminds you that here is beloved child. He is pleased with you. Go back to what He says over and over and over again. It is so easy to forget. Do not forget His words over you. Number two, He initiates growth through challenging you. Comfort never produces character. So choose an attitude that is ready to do hard things so that you can partner with God as He helps you grow beyond where you're currently at. Number three, He instructs you, He guides you, He shows you the path when you feel lost or unsure. You can actually ask God when you're stuck in a moment, you're like, I don't know what to do right now. God, would you father me right now? Please speak to me, Lord. I don't know how to fix this lawnmower. I don't know how to fix this marriage. I don't know how to fix what's going on in my heart. Would you father me right now? He intervenes to treat your wounds, not with shame, but with compassion and healing grace. Invite him in to bind up your wounds and heal your brokenness. He invites you into relationship and intimacy because he doesn't just want obedience, he wants your heart. And so if you've never come to him by faith in Jesus, today is a great day to do that. To say, I need a heavenly father. I recognize I've made mistakes on my own. I'm not getting it right all the time. But Jesus died to pay for my sin, to make it possible for me to be made right with God. I put my faith in Jesus. I confess him as my Lord. I submit to him in my life. And God immediately steps in and starts to father you. He adopts you into his family. And then he invests kingdom responsibility and authority in you. You were never meant to live small. You were never meant to just live up to other people's expectations. You were made to carry his name, carry his authority, and carry his mission into the world. So be bold as a lion as you advance the kingdom in one more conversation, in one more friend, in one more neighborhood, in one more prayer. He is a good father, and he's shaping you for a great future. And I want to close with this. For the single moms, please hear this. Your kids are not doomed. They are not without hope. They're not without a father. God sees you. He's with you. And he's not just your father. He's a father to your children too. If you want to know what kind of future you have, look at your father. The perfect father is already building it. He's calling you. He's calling your family to walk with him. Because where there's lack, he steps in with obedience. Where there's brokenness, he brings restoration. And where there's a feeling of being alone, he promises never to leave. That's the kind of father he is. That's the kind of fathering he's calling you into. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you so much for making a way for us to be made right with God, to be adopted by God our Father. Holy Spirit, would you show us how to be fathered, how to be children, how we can be a son, how we can be a daughter, perfect father. For those who need the challenge, Lord, I pray that you would step in and initiate challenge. For those who are feeling defeated, that you would step in and indicate your affirmation. For those who are feeling like they are just wounded and broken, I pray that you would step in and bind up the broken heart. And for those who are feeling bored, Lord, I pray that you would invest kingdom responsibility and authority to say that we are made for more and that by your divine plan we get to partner with you in that. We praise you for fathering us. In Jesus' name, amen.